Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to our second reading, the fourth chapter of Joshua. Interesting that we're tracking chapter 4 in our readings. Makes it easier on the guy that sets up the bulletins. I have to think less. And that's generally a good thing. Joshua chapter 4, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command you them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every man a tribe. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then you shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan, until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people. And the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua, therefore, commanded the priests, saying, Come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place, and flowed over all his banks as they did before. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal, in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, when he dried up from before us, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. May God add his blessing to the reading, to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, the chapter is very straightforward. It describes essentially one particular activity, or a couple of aspects of that one activity, the crossing of the people over Jordan on dry land and what they did to commemorate it. That's essentially the chapter in a nutshell. There are several lessons, however, that we take from that. First of all, let's remember that these are to be taken up as stones. Two things. Number one, stones of remembrance. So 12 stones taken out of the midst of the river while it was dry and drawn out and brought to the place of encampment at Gilgal. And we'll see about Gilgal later. This is the place where they came. So they have now entered into the land of promise, and they pile up 12 stones to form a memorial for the faithfulness of God in causing them to pass over, that the children of Israel might remember. And so we understand then that often in Scripture, this is not the only place we see this, but often in Scripture, there are times that are set aside unto remembrance. And it's not a wicked thing. It's not an untoward thing that a memorial, a standard be set up to remember a particularly, singularly gracious act of God. So we have the pile of stones. I'm thinking that because these men were chosen to carry a stone upon their shoulders, that Joshua went through, and this is my own conjecture, you can take it or leave it, and he found the biggest and the most strapping young man out of each of the tribes so that he could pick up the biggest rock out of Jordan that he could find, place it up on, you know, heave it up upon his shoulder, take it out so that they would build the most lasting structure they could find in Gilgal. That's what I think happened. I can't be dogmatic on that, however. And so we have then the representation of all of the people, such that all of the people would remember what the Lord did for them when he brought them over Jordan on dry land, as he brought their fathers over the Red Sea. The second aspect of this is that it is to be a catechetical pile of stones, not only a stone of remembrance, but a stone of catechism, or stones of catechism. You say, Pastor, that's reaching, you're reaching. That's catechism. No. That's exactly what it is. What is catechism? Catechism is simply the teaching of the ways of God in question and answer format. That's all it is. That's all it means. So then the children, when they see those stones, will be prodded to ask a question. What do you mean, putting up these stones here? And so then the parents will reiterate to them this memorial that we've already spoken of, that the Lord brought them on dry land over Jordan when he brought them into the land of promise, into Canaan land, the land of their rest. And the Ark of the Covenant stood over the waters, and the waters were removed. And the priests stood in the midst of Jordan on dry land while all 2 million or so people crossed over the river Jordan, or the stream bed of Jordan that was no longer wet. And the Lord brought us then into Gilgal, and this was our entering into the land of promise, into the land of rest that God had promised to us. And afterward, when those men came out with the Ark of the Covenant, then Jordan miraculously flowed over her banks again, as she does always during the time of harvest. And so the Lord our God then brought us into this land in a great and mighty ceremony to show his might to us, and not only to us, but to the inhabitants of the land, that they might fear the Lord, and that their strength and defense would depart from them. And so you see how it was also a catechetical pile of stones, not just stones of remembrance, but stones of catechism. Now, having said all of that, and having spoken in support of remembrances, let us also remember the Scripture teaches us that often those remembrances are abused. Are they not? So we remember, as we will move through the book of Joshua and into Judges, we remember our good friend Gideon. And Gideon had this ephod that was made for him after the war, and he set that ephod up on a stand, and it became what? An idol. An idol. We remember the snake that we saw earlier, the golden serpent that was cast by Moses and lifted up before the people that they might be cured of their bite from the fiery serpents. But we also remember that in the days of Hezekiah, when his mother had set that up in a grove and the people began to worship it. He ground it to powder and said, it's not an idol, it's Nehushtan. And Nehushtan meant it's just a piece of brass. Not gold, brass. I said gold earlier, sorry, I meant brass. So let's remember that in the midst of all of those remembrances, that they can be misused in a superstitious fashion. And when we think about now this place of insertion into the land of Canaan being called Gilgal, we will come to a place in our Old Testament history as we read along where the Lord will say to them, go up to Gilgal and sin. And why would he say that to them? Because they had taken those 12 stones and they had made an idol worship place out of it. That's why. Because those things that God had given them to be remembrancers of righteousness, they turned into touchstones of superstition. And so if we just can get close to that pile of rocks, we'll be blessed. If we can just see it, we'll be blessed. And of course, they went on to do even worse than that in Gilgal and in other places. So, as we see then that that there can be a good thing with regard to remembrancing or remembering things, but when we say remembrancing things, we make that more of an issue, don't we? That's an old-fashioned word. It means the entire process, not just of recall, but of making things memorable in that sense. And then also how those things can be used for catechetical instruction, but then also how they can be abused. All of that is brought to our present thoughts here out of Joshua chapter 4. There's only one other thing to say about the chapter, and that is that God encourages his man, as he did in the last chapter. And he magnifies Joshua in the sight of the people as the one who was indeed the human orchestrator of all of that, the commander of those forces of the Lord. And so the Lord was indeed more and more farther and farther separating Joshua out to that leadership position that could not be denied. We see that as it's pressed forward in this chapter. All right, well, that's the end of Joshua chapter 4.